Talking about your book, The Last Dropout, Stop the Epidemic. Oh, if it were only true, Bill. Tell me about The Last Dropout. What are people going to learn?
Well, they're going to learn that we can solve this issue, and it's going to take a long-term commitment. But that if we don't, it's one of the biggest economic and moral issues, I think, in the country.
Okay. Now, you wrote this book coming firsthand from as a guy who had been kicked out of school, right?
Yes, I was removed from high school, but fortunately somebody came into our neighborhood from a volunteer youth organization and got me back in school and got me heading in the right direction.
Okay. You got removed because, what, you were having problems understanding, learning, or...
Yeah, they said the reason I was in so much trouble was that I couldn't handle the work. I just didn't know till years later that I learned differently.
You talk about 9 guiding principles for rescuing the nation's young people. Let me have a couple of those. What are they?
Well, it all starts with relationships. I had spent 11 years in the streets of New York and Harlem and the Lower East Side working with kids, and I later was asked to testify on why so many of them made it, and I said it's because we didn't start with programs, that programs don't change kids, it's relationships. At first, they have to know somebody cares, somebody is willing to stand with them, and once somebody has hope, then they begin to learn. So the number one principle is they got to get turned on to living before they're going to get turned on to learning.
How difficult is it to reach these kids, though? A lot of them probably are pretty well depressed or dismayed with the whole system by now.
Well, they are, but it's amazing what happened. So was I. I was extremely angry and upset. But when you find out somebody's willing to walk through the valley of the shadow of adolescence with you and stand with you through that, it's amazing. Kids need to know somebody is willing to go with them and be with them. Demand high expectations, but not from a distance, but up close.
Why is it, do you suppose, that schools have such a problem when it comes to kids that are a little different or have a little different method of learning? They just can't seem to adapt and can't seem to help them. Why is that?
Well, there's been a huge improvement over the last 10 years. It just took years for them to understand, and there's real breakthroughs in that area. It just needs to grow. And some kids, you know, come to school with every kind of need in the world, and we can't ask our teachers to be mother, father, sister, brother, social worker, hall guard, everything but teachers. We need to make sure those resources are taken care of before the kid actually is in class.
Okay, so the kid has got to have a fairly decent relationship at home.
Yeah, and if that isn't right, then somebody else has to be there for them. We lost the safety net for so many kids in over the years, which used to be the extended family and relationship with the faith community, where there is that mediating structures, the whole combination of aunts and uncles and grandfathers and grandparents and the faith community all working together, and that's kind of over a 30, 40-year period came apart, and now we're asking schools to take the place. We have a lot of resources out there in boys and girls clubs and urban leagues and health systems and faith-based people that all want to help kids, but they're scattered all over town. We say you need to bring them together at the school and weave a safety net of resources around the kids.
Okay, you're the founder of Community in Schools, right? What's that do?
What we do is we go in, we get invited into a school system, and begin to take on schools that they want us to take on and put a site coordinator in that school who knows every kid by name, knows what the issues are and what the resource needs are, and then they go out and get them. As I said, they'll weave them together. They'll integrate these services around the schools. They'll get the Boys and Girls Club worker, the health worker, the big brother, big sister, the Urban League worker, all to come to the school and deliver the resources right where the kids are so that the teachers aren't being asked to do that and the teachers are freed up to teach.
What about parents? How do they accept what some people would say would be an intrusion into their family existence if they're not doing the job and then you people come along? Do you get a lot of cooperation from parents?
Extreme. It's just the opposite. All families. And a lot of our kids, unfortunately, we're working with kids that Often there's only one parent at best. Often somebody's in their family's incarcerated, or that family system wants the support. They're the integral part of it, but they need to be surrounded, much like we look to family members to help us out and extended family members.
All right, Bill, I appreciate you taking time to talk to us. Much luck with the book.
Well, thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Don. Bye.